So here, verse 14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And now, Bill, do you have the 23? Read what you have in Matthew.
Same thing. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
So, imagine, in putting on Matthew, whose gospel is in Greek, says virgin. Yes, yet these stubborn people will not even take Matthew's word. Am I making sense? There's no question. Well, the angel told Joseph, recall, not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Why? Because the child in our womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew says, quoting Isaiah. Matthew quotes Isaiah 7:14. But, of course, the Episcopalians know better than St. Matthew what Isaiah really said. Okay. And listen to this. The life standard in Isaiah is a young woman. And Matthew is a virgin. They are honest enough to put the reference in Matthew to Isaiah. And they don't put in what Matthew puts in. Clunk. That's the second great Marian prophecy. I should say, by the way, that another course that I took in Rome was a semester course on these four prophecies. Three classes a week for 15 weeks. So there are just great riches hidden behind each one of these prophecies about Our Lady in the Old Testament. Third Marian prophecy in the Old Testament. This is from Micaiah, or Micah, as it's also called. Quote, you Bethlehem, out of you shall he come forth, who is to be the ruler of Israel. He will give them up even to the time when she who is in labor shall bring forth. Remember what the wise men, the Magi, asked Herod when the star that brought them towards Palestine, and they want to know where are they to find? Well, the Messiah, the one who is to be born of the Jews. And Herod's wise men told them in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was foretold as the place where the Messiah would be born. And ironically, he was not conceived in Bethlehem. Why was he born in Bethlehem? Who knows? Because he was a descendant of David, which is what? The birthplace of David. So Bethlehem, Mary was of David's family. Mary's son was a ruler. And Matthew 2, the Magi were duly informed. Now, a prophecy most Catholics don't know about. Christ, full man in Mary's womb. The Lord has created a new thing upon the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Jeremiah's or Jeremiah 31:22. Except for the size of his body, in Mary's womb. Christ was full grown. His body was, of course, minuscule. Who is this? So the Lord has created a new thing upon the earth. A woman shall encompass a man, foretelling that the child in Mary's womb would be, except on size or quantity, a full-grown man. Mary, unlike other mothers, Christ was full man from conception. His humanity was complete, except for growth, already in conception. Christ's human mind knew, Christ's human will was free and operative.
Father, this brings to mind a question in my mind, and referring to the Gospels, where after Christ was found by Jesus and Mary in the temple when he was 12 years old, and it said that he went home with them and grew in wisdom and age and in grace. And I'm wondering, how do you join that to this?
Well, there are two ways of explaining Christ growing. Okay. I'm just going to steal some of your water.
Oh.
The first explanation is that Christ saw fit to manifest his perfections gradually. It's one thing to possess the fullness of manhood. It's something else to manifest only gradually the fullness of his manhood. But secondly, even though we would take literally that Christ did nevertheless grow, say when he came back with Mary and Joseph from the temple in Jerusalem, that could Christ grow? Yes. And part of his becoming man was the humiliation of growing, not growing in the sense that he was ignorant before. When we grow, we really grow because, well, we start with nothing. Christ, however, grew, to repeat, in two ways. Christ grew in manifesting gradually what he always possessed. But Christ also, we may say, grew in the possession of those which are not of the essence of his human nature. Could therefore Christ, can we say, grow in his knowledge? Yes. How? Experientially. In other words, Christ knew who he was. Christ had his full humanity from the moment of his conception. However, Christ did want to grow in the possession of those graces or gifts which were not essential as being who he was. But in order to humiliate himself, he allowed himself to grow in knowledge and wisdom, not because he needed it, but because he wanted to be humiliated by having to, as we say, grow in that which already possessed absolutely from the first moment of his conception. So that we may see Christ grew in manifestation, Christ also grew by his experiencing what he had not known before by experience. But we don't have to experience something to know it. A doctor does not have to have cancer to know how to deal with same malignancy. In any case, thanks for the question. Lewis.
Father,
as loud as you can.
Pardon?
As loud as you can.
Okay. What you're describing was covered by St. Paul when Christ, though by nature divine, never claimed equality, but emptied himself of his divinity in order to assume his humanity.
Christ humiliated himself in everything that he could without compromising on the one hand his divinity or even his all-holy humanity. Yes. And there's nothing sinful by being alienate. Except in Christ's case, his ignorance was not that he did not know, but rather by ignorance, by not manifesting or making known what he did know. Also, we may say that Christ did not know many things by experience. He allowed himself to grow in experiential knowledge, even though he knew what he knew without having to experience it, say even before he was born. Just a few words, summary fashion, on the value of seeing Mary in the Old Testament. First, since the Second Vatican Council, and we know the Old Testament has become so prominent in the liturgy, in almost every Mass. Most of the first readings are from the Old Testament. In the Divine Office, Old Testament. Most of the Divine Office is Psalms. Psalms are Old Testament. So first, the value of recognizing, and these four are not by any means exhaustive, there is great wisdom in recognizing that Our Lady, no less than her Divine Son, was foretold in the Old Testament. And just as the Old Testament tells us a great deal about Christ that we don't find in the New Testament. So the Old Testament tells us things about Mary that only in, I would say, generations to come, as the Catholic faithful see more and more a Marian prophecy by anticipation. The praise of Mary, the holiness of Mary, and especially her virtues. And among her virtues, the two that we keep repeating, Christ himself did not possess, her faith and her hope and trust in God. And how this needs to be known, because of the work I'm doing, I try to read at least a couple of hours a week from feminist literature, intelligence, reason, blasphemous. And these are women who are writing, educated women, and most of the leading feminists in the United States are either nuns or ex-nuns. Most of them. Except for the feminist movement, our Catholic schools would be open today. We better cope. And it means for our purpose, we better know, both we women, what, say, I should be as a woman, and we men, what women should be. Mary is the prototype of what women who are pleasing to God, like his mother, should be. I don't believe I've ever read a more devastating, cruel, bitter book review of any book than a book on Our Lady reviewed in the New York Times, just blasting the author for portraying Mary as a model of the modern woman. If you read some really intelligent and theologically acute literature, the venom of the feminist women against Mary is deadly. And I think I should say this, in other words, we need to realize that womanhood has a prototype and a model, no less than Christ is the model for both genders, but Mary especially for women. And I think I would like to now take, is it a 50-minute break that we have? So, can we reassemble at 25 to 3? Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Institute on Religious Life has presented these lectures by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. All rights are reserved. Any duplication or reproduction of this material in any media form without the express written consent of the Institute on Religious Life is strictly prohibited. For more information on other material in this series or on the Institute on Religious Life, call area code 313-930-7470.